Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Nice morning in New York City. Getting into the low 70s today. What about seeing it on ESPN2 right now? A little overcast, but pleasant outside. Morning, Jay. Morning, Key.
What up, baby?
All the smoke is completely gone, huh?
It hasn't, like the wind patterns or whatever. Yeah.
The fires are still going on. That's the crazy part in Canada.
I know.
Are they still going? I mean, are they still kind of like crazed like that or no?
I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
Yeah, I don't know. But in New York, you're right. It's not like it was.
You were a damn scientist. You're sitting up there explaining to us that they're still going on. I'm just trying to understand. Are they burning crazy? Is it thousands of acres? I don't know.
Jay, please file a full report later in the show.
Okay.
When you go to get up, you
usually know everything, though, Jay.
I usually know everything, so I can ask you about anything. No, I don't.
You know?
I want to know about deforestation. I'd like to know about climate change and its effect on the duration and the intensity of the burning. Yes.
I got the co-host wrong. Max.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, my bad. What is it up there?
What's the latest update?
Burning? Yeah, give me the latest update.
I couldn't tell. I could tell you that you're right in your observation that the air in New York is much better than it was a couple of days ago.
Oh, God. Oh, goodness.
I'm like Cliff Clavin, right?
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
All right. So the Joker got his title and his finals MVP. And the question is now, the question
is
in everyone's mind, immediately upon his winning this game, all across the country, all across the world, was where is he in Max Kellerman's top 20 players all time? That was the question. He finished with 28 points and 16 boards. First player in the history of the NBA to lead the playoffs in points, rebounds, and assists. Yeah, he's pretty good. So where is he in the top 20?
So let's just go over the resume real quick before you go into your list. We have current average 20.2 points per game, 10.5 rebounds, 6.6 assists
for
in the regular season.
For the Joker. You mean for his career?
Yep, for a career.
Oh, but why would you do the career? I don't get it.
Why wouldn't I do the career?
because it doesn't capture, it averages in a guy's early years where he's still ascending.
Of course, yeah. All right. That we're looking at body of work, right?
No, not necessarily. I wouldn't say the mean of his points scored.
First off, why are you getting triggered? I'm not even countering your point.
I'm just pointing out. It's not a useful statistic.
I'm going to lay out for this one.
How is it not
you guys
useful?
Go ahead.
How is somebody's career? So in somebody's career, you say one NBA champion. Is that useful?
Jay, there's a difference between creating an average when someone's still on their way up as a means of capturing what they've done in their career versus taking a portion of their career where they hit their prime or something like that. It skews it in the wrong direction. For example, if you were to say
I got a chance to put out one stat, you didn't even know how I was skewing it. You didn't even know which direction I was even going.
You just became triggered with it. I'm not triggered at all.
Max, what I was going to say to you, sitting here and observing
this tit for tat back and forth, I was going to say, Max, why don't you let him finish so you can hear everything before you attack?
Just jump me.
Just let him finish.
Career scoring average.
Oh my goodness!
No,
wait. Look, though,
let him take it away,
Kiko. Completely wrong, and you may be right, but you got to let him finish so we can get him.
Point taken.
I mean, one NBA champion, one NBA Finals MVP, two regular season MVPs. Averaged 30, 14, and 10 in the postseason on 55, 46, and 80% from the field. Beat KD and Booker in 6. Beat LeBron and AD in 4. Beat playoff Jimmy in 5. Most playoff triple-doubles ever. Most assists ever by a center. First 30, 20, and 10 finals game and a finals MVP.
Now, I close my eyes that, when you were
I just want that. I want to set the table like that for you, but then you.
Well, no, but I think but the Jay, scoring average my, for his career is
I,
like a.
I closed my eyes when you were saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Just to hear you, man. That's the best player in the world.
Yeah, he's the best.
It's the best player in the game.
That's the best player in the game right now.
And he makes everyone around him better. So here's how I would put that in. And by the way, the highest PER for what that's worth all time in a single season belongs to Jokic. And this year he had another top 15 all-time PER season. The quality of his prime is outstanding. Okay. MJ, LeBron, Kareem, Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain. Those five guys at one point or another, there was wide-ranging consensus, or at least a large minority of the population, like large, that thought that's the best player ever. Magic, Kobe, Bird, Shaq, Steph, all had multiple, usually, MVPs and final MVPs, and at one point or another were considered the best player in the game. And oftentimes, many of those guys sustained that for a period of several years. I think Tim Duncan probably belongs in that category, too. I have him at 11. Hakeem, Moses, and KD, you can say the same thing about the guys I said before them. I would have them a tick below the other guys, but okay, that could be debated. But I think those 14 are cemented. And then the question is, who's 15? KG was maybe not ever the best player in the world, but close to it, and a great player who was the best player in a championship team. Oscar Robertson was the standard at point guard for years, really, before Magic Johnson. Jerry West was an all-time great. Same thing with Elgin Baylor, though he never won a title. Dr. J's best work took place in the ABA, but super great player. Dirk Nowitzki was the best player in the game, probably for a year. Isaiah Thomas, back-to-back titles. And among the great all-time point guards, Giannis has a similar resume to Joker, actually. And David Robinson won an MVP, won a finals. You know,
He won two chips.
One last season.
99 and 2003.
Yep. So the question is, those are the candidates, along with Joker, in my mind, for that 15th slot. And I could tell you, just looking at it, I'm taking the Joker, given how much better he makes the people around him, given what he just did in these playoffs to win finals MVP, but really playoff MVP, given his back-to-back MVPs in the regular season that could have easily been three in a row, which almost no one's ever done, I'm taking him over Isaiah, Dirk.
Can't do it over Isaiah.
Isaiah Thomas was never considered the best player in basketball.
Isaiah Thomas won two MVPs. He's won three.
No, regular season?
Yes.
Isaiah Thomas won regular season
84
MVP?
84 and 86.
Was regular season MVP? 80, not 80, a, no. I don't think so.
84 and 86?
I have to look that up. I'm almost sure okay. You're wrong, but go ahead.
All right. I mean, he led the Pistons to consecutive championships 89 and 90. Was named the MVP of the finals in 1990. Mm-hmm. And 12 All-Star games and was named MVP in 1984 and 1986.
I'm looking up the MVP. I do not recall him getting two MVPs, but I could be wrong. You know, it's not often that I'm wrong, Jay, but it does happen from time to time. Mm-hmm. We can look that up.
Yep.
We're going to look it up. A lot of things here to look up. Anyone in the control room want to help me since I'm hosting a show? Can anyone take out their phone?
Time is up, Max. Final answer.
This is what Jay does.
Do you have a final answer, Max?
And then I'm
over here.
Can anyone in the control room please look up Isaiah Thomas MVPs, please?
But anyway, whether or not he's been MVP or whatnot, it certainly would be hard-pressed to remove him off a list.
Okay, here's the MVP for Isaiah Thomas.
Oh,
here's
his finishes. Did not win.
No, wait a minute.
8-4-6?
17-16, 5-9-9, 8-12, 17-13-13. He never won MVP. Came in top five. So as usual, Jay is
wrong.
Just making up stats.
No, it
now
says right here. I'm
stopping the show.
Okay, I was wrong.
Okay.
I said here. He was named MVP in 84. Okay, I guess I was wrong.
See what happens, Max, when you allow him to finish, you get the right answer.
So,
you see how that goes?
You have a point.
But you see how that goes. Because if you would have continued to interrupt him, you would have never, ever been able
All-Star MVP. All-Star MVP.
I remember the 84 All-Star MVP.
My fault.
So, right.
I stand corrected.
Thomas was never considered the best player in the game. He's on this list of candidates. Like, who else should be in the top 20? Isaiah has an incredible resume. But he wasn't ever in the position that Jokic is in now, perceived as the best player in the game. Multiple MVP. You know, so much better than everyone else in the playoffs.
So
right?
Let me ask you this, though, Max. Yeah. So he needs to be right underneath Giannis then, correct?
But that's the question. That's, to me,
because it's the same. If you're telling me two MVPs and a championship, let's just leave it there.
Yep.
Let's not get into the points and this and that and blah, blah, blah. Let's just leave it right there.
I totally agree. Those are the candidates for 15 to me. It's Giannis and Joker. Both have at one time or another been perceived as the best player in the game. Both have multiple regular season MVPs. Both have finals MVPs. Both put up stupid numbers in the regular season and had great postseasons, right? Hey, it comes down to Giannis or Joker for the 15th slot.
Let me ask you this, Jay. Who's a harder player to defend, though?
I don't even know how to answer that because they both do things very differently. You know, like they're two different players. Like,
So let me rephrase the question.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you rather have on your team and not recency bias? I'm just talking about from what you know as an ex-basketball player, Naismith winner, second pick of the Chicago Bulls, all that. From what you know, who would you rather have?
I mean, as a guard, my dream would have Nikola Jokic. I mean, I play very similarly to Jamal Murray, right? So having a guy that I can come off any pick and roll, I mean, I had one of the best weapons in all college basketball in Shane Battier, and that dude is way different than Shane Battier, and we dominated college basketball in a pick and roll perspective.
Do you like Jokic's shooting from the outside and playmaking or Giannis's defense? That's what it really, in a comparison of those two players. Giannis is more of a rim protector and a better defender overall. Joker's obviously a better shooter from the outside and a better playmaker with the ball.
I hate answering this question for anybody that just says it's one or the other. Like I would start to question your basketball acumen, right? Because how is my roster constructed?
Right.
Like what pieces do I have?
So in other words, it's that close between Giannis and the Joker.
I think as it relates to their dominance and how they impact the game. Yes.
Stop.
So if you had to pick one at 15,
I said I would pick
all right.
Joker.
So by the way, okay. I just want to point out, guys, he won Finals MVP, and my claim that he's in the 12 to 15 conversation, but certainly top 20, doesn't sound so ridiculous anymore, right? Like, he's right there. You might have him 21, you might have him 15, whatever, but he's floating in that range right now already. Not just centers, like any position. Are the Nuggets headed for a dynasty?
Uh-oh.
After Jay has this from FanDuel.
Uh-oh. Yes, Jay. Yeah, Jay, it's, you know, Isaiah Thomas, man. You know,
I'm going to let Jay, remember what Jay, you said? Here's my technique. I'm listening.
Will have FanDuel when we come back from break.
Key, it works. You're right. KJM.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. So we just came off a conversation in the last segment. You can download the podcast if you missed it. About where Jokic rates all time. Is he top 15? I think he is. Jay, I think push comes to shove, you would put him there. Certainly top 20. No one could put him out of the top 25 all time, but I would have him like 15. But a lot of this is trying to hit a moving target, right? You're trying to – it's not just what he's done. It's where you anticipate he's going still. Like, you don't think this is it. He'll never be good again. You think there's more to come. And so same thing with Giannis. If they stop now, you might look and go, let me reevaluate David Robinson against them or someone like that, right?
The Admiral was sick.
Yeah, he was sick.
Mm-hmm.
And really is not remembered – as being as good as he was because he played with Hakeem and Shaq.
Yeah, but he also played in the era where it's not as a lot of social media hype. He
right,
played
for
right. the Spurs.
Yeah, yeah. No, he Admiral was no joke. Yeah. Was no joke. Yeah. No, come on. But that's my point, Key. Like, it's not that Giannis and Jokic have already done more than him, although that's debatable, right, in terms of their status in the league. It's where we think they're still going. So the question really is, are the Nuggets headed for a dynasty? Or at least, are they not done winning championships? Michael Malone, the Nuggets head coach, was asked this very question at the post-game press conference.
Pat Riley said something many years ago. I used to have it up on my board when I was a head coach in Sacramento, and I talked about the evolution in this game and how you go from a nobody to an upstart, and you go from an upstart to a winner, and a winner to a contender, and a contender to a champion. And the last step is after you're a champion is to be a dynasty. So we're not satisfied. We accomplished something this franchise has never done before, but we have a lot of young, talented players in that locker room. And I think we just showed through 16 playoff wins what we're capable of on the biggest stage in the world. And the best part about it is the people I just did that with.
I have to say this. You know, shout out to DeAndre Jordan, who finally got a chip. Who would have thought that DeAndre Jordan would get one before Blake Griffin or CP3? Like, just go back to those Clipper days, right? It's like those are the type of stories that you see within the franchise. Or a guy like Christian Brown, who won 3 straight high school championships, came off last year winning a college championship with KU, and is now an NBA champion in his rookie year.
And made real contributions.
Real contributions. Yeah. Like, those are the kind of stories you have on the squad.
Are they headed to be a dynasty? Give me the ages of the years of Jokic and Murray and Porter, Jay.
Everybody's on contract for the next couple of years. The only person key who I think is an unrestricted free agent, I need to look it up, is Bruce Brown. But everybody else is on contract for next
year. I got him in
player
front of
option.
Me.
He has a player option. So.
I got him in front of me. Jokic is 28. Jamal Murray is 26. KCP is 30. Christian Brown is 22. Bruce Brown is 26. KCP, I mentioned that already. Aaron Gordon's 27. So their nucleus is in their mid to late 20s.
All I care about is the 3 to 4 guy. KCP, I'm talking about the young bucks.
Aaron Gordon is 27. So the two big ones, Jokic is 28, Jamal Murray's 26, Gordon is 27, Porter Jr. is 24.
And this is each, 6 years in the league for them mainly? 6, 7 years?
Like around, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
So usually from without pulling out my phone and doing the research, when you usually win early like this in your career, you start to develop that dynasty type environment because you're not going anywhere, right? You as a core, you're not going anywhere. It's usually teams like the Celtics when Larry Bird was young or Magic was young or when LeBron was in Miami, they were still young, or Kobe was young with Shaq. They were in that 6, 7 year type in their career. Then they got hit. They started hitting. You look at Golden State. Steph Curry and them hit early, and then they just started, and they add a few other pieces around them. They become the core. So it's not without reason that the Nuggets could potentially, this could be a jump start to some sort of dynasty where you see them win one or two over the next 5 years.
See, that's where I am, Key. What you just said, when people say dynasty, if they're like, this is a three-peat, wait a minute. Jamal Murray just got healthy again for the playoffs, right? There were 2 years in between where he wasn't healthy. And Jokic won his first title at 28. Like, I look at the Spurs with Tim Duncan. They got 5 chips over, like, whatever it was, 18 years. But they won early with Tim Duncan and never went back-to-back. If what you're saying by dynasty is they have another chip or two in them over the next half dozen years, I could get with that. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to look like the Chicago Bulls, you know, three-peating. But or the Warriors winning, you know, 3 out of 4 or something. But I could see them winning more another one and maybe even another one.
As long as that nucleus, Jay, you know this, man. As long as that nucleus stay together, they're going to grow together.
They're going to keep knocking on the
door. They're going to be a hard out for quite some time.
My thing is, you know, for the next 4 to 5 years, Denver is going to be knocking on the door of winning multiple championships. Now, whether they get through the door or not, that will be TBD. We'll see what moves Phoenix is able to make. If Phoenix is able to get James Harden, you're looking at Phoenix very differently. Mm-hmm. You're looking at Denver and that matchup very differently.
But even then, maybe Phoenix pops and gets one. But given KD's age, James Harden's age, right, versus these guys in their mid to late 20s, I think really with Porter Jr.'s back and the way he played throughout most of the playoffs, they'd like out of that deal, I would imagine. But Aaron Gordon is actually, to me, the third most important piece on that team right now. He's their defender who can lock up the best player on the other team. He's athletic. He's big. He's 27 years old. His offense maybe at this point is a touch underrated. Like, you have that guy to add to the big two cogs, Jokic, who makes everyone better and is an all-time great in his prime, and Jamal Murray, who is a playoff killer. It's a lot. And they can, and they both shoot. Jamal Murray can shoot it, like, you know, and Jokic can shoot it. They can score it from the outside.
I mean, look, I mean, Stan Kroenke, they're going to have interesting issues, though, right? Like, you're paying Michael Porter on the max. You're paying Jamal Murray on the max. You're paying Jokic on the max. You're paying Aaron Gordon damn near close to max.
It's the Porter
so
deal.
So it's a lot of the pieces that end up fitting and whether you can retain. Look, it's a matter you can retain. You know how this stuff goes. Like, the longer teams play together, guys start to say, I want more. I want my own thing. Like, can you keep all those egos aligned?
What are the – so when you think about the biggest impediments to a Nuggets dynasty, one is the competition's going to get better. It was a little wide open this year. Two is health, especially of Jamal Murray, right?
And Michael Porter Jr. That back is a real thing, man.
Right. I would say three. I'll even take health out of Porter Jr. because it's so obvious. Three is the Porter contract. Can they eat that? Are they going to be able to, especially with the new CBA, compete year in and year out where you have your two pillars in Jokic and Murray, but you are going to be saddled with a near max deal on a player who's health makes him, you know, much less than that, right? Much less a player than that. That'll be the question, the Porter Jr. contract.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're joined now by one of the biggest mistakes the Knicks ever made, letting him go, letting him walk out the door, packaging him with the pick that became Nene for the remains of Antonio McDyess. But it was also one of the best trades they made, trading the popular Charles Oakley for Marcus Camby, who helped get the Knicks to a finals. Former NBA 2007 Defensive Player of the Year. Good morning, Marcus.
What's on, guys? How y'all doing?
And of course, went on to have an excellent portion of his career in Denver. How impressed were you by Jokic in the final? Like, what do you say about what he just did?
I mean, I don't know how many superlatives you can throw out about a guy like Jokic, man. He's been doing it, you know, all season long, really over the last couple of years, back-to-back MVPs. Possibly could have been a third this year, but, you know, with the Nuggets being on the national stage and playing in the finals, I think the world got to see what type of player he really is.
You know, Marcus, it's way too early, as they like to say, to start this, but I'm going to start it anyway. How much of a chance you think it is for them to go back and repeat back-to-back? Now, there'll be other teams that get healthy. There'll be other moves made in the NBA, but as they're constructed right now, is it a back-to-back in their future?
It's real hard to tell, Keith. It hasn't even been 24 hours. But if you look at the way the roster is constructed, the guys they have on the contract, Jokic, Murray, Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., their core group of guys will be back. So, you know, I expect the Nuggets to be definitely in the deep playoff runs for many years to come. But, you know, a lot of that is predicated on health and a lot of other things that go on the nature of a ball club. But, you know, I expect the Nuggets to be in the thick of things towards next season.
Former NBA player, 2007 Defensive Player of the Year, Marcus Camby, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Marcus, you know, there's been a lot of arguing around the word star compared to superstar. And whether the word superstar gets thrown casually around too much. So I will ask you, Jimmy Butler has gotten his team to two NBA finals in 4 years. Is Jimmy Butler a superstar?
I honestly think Jimmy Butler is a superstar. I just think in this series, for some reason, it just seemed like he didn't have the guys that he had in the last series. I remember, you know, him being animated against Grant Williams in the Boston series, him crouching down, calling a timeout sound to get timeout sign against Al Horford. And I didn't see any of that this series. It just seemed like, you know, he didn't have that energy that he had throughout the course of the playoff. And it happens sometimes. You know, he tried last night. He didn't really come through for him in the last game. But the fourth quarter, he seemed to get it going a little bit. But it just wasn't enough going down the stretch to lead them to a championship.
Marcus, can you tell me why you think he's a superstar? Because I've heard counter arguments that say his offensive skill set is not at the same level as Devin Booker or, you know, a Kyrie Irving, and or the lack of him scoring 50 points last night, you know, doesn't put him in that rarefied category. What defines a superstar to you?
Well, I see that with Jimmy. Jimmy is a guy that doesn't have a lot of flash to his game. He doesn't have the handles, per se, of a Kyrie. But he's just a guy who does a lot of things well, and he brings a lot of effort. And, you know, guys like myself and a lot of guys, you know, tend to see guys like that and appreciate what they bring to the ball game. And just his sure grit and his tenacity, you know, propelled Miami Heat all the way to the finals. And from that aspect, you got to give him a lot of credit for that.
See, I'm with you, man. I'm with you on this. Like, it's so funny. When he dropped 56 against Milwaukee, like, people were calling him a superstar. And then all of a sudden, because his points per game dropped off or – And obviously that could be due to ankle, whatever it is, Marcus, right? Like the fact that he hasn't performed at that level, all of a sudden, like, well, now he's not. He's just a star. And, you know, we're talking about the qualities that he lacks. And, like, he's also doing it with undrafted players. Marcus.
That's the key thing. The way he's just willing his team and just putting them in position to even compete for an NBA championship when, you know, nobody in the beginning of the season gave the Miami Heat a chance. And a lot of that, all of that credit pretty much has to go to Jimmy, but also the culture they have down there in Miami. But, you know, I expect Jimmy to be back. He just had a bad 2 weeks here in the finals, but leading up to that, he's been superb.
So we've been talking today, talking to Marcus Camby, talking today about where Jokic now rates in history, Marcus, because even though he's only 28, as you said, he almost won three consecutive MVPs. Only two guys have ever done that, right? And he won two as it is. He just won finals MVP. He just led the entire playoffs in points, rebounds, and assists. Never been done before. He can shoot from the outside. Yeah. He sets his teammates up, et cetera, et cetera. I have him, we were talking about it, when push comes to shove, I got him 15. Not at center, I mean all time. Right. Is he a top 20 all-time player to you?
I think when it's all said and done, I think Jokic can be, you know, a top 10, top 15 player all time. I mean, just think of everything that he does out there on the basketball court. It's not just his scoring ability, his rebounding ability, his IQ, the way he passes the basketball, and his unselfishness. I mean, just seeing him in the interviews last night, he wasn't really for all the hoopla. He really just wanted to go home and just play the ball game. So I have a lot of respect for him. I think the sky's the limit. He's young, and he's going to continue to get better and better.
So funny you brought that up, Marcus Camby. Speaking of Marcus Camby, former NBA player, 2007 Defensive Player of the Year, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, that you brought up the boring sort of kind of deal. Now, you can defend your city that you played in, but why was that celebration just in general? When they won, it was like I had to look twice at the floor to make sure they wasn't on the road. It was almost like blah. After 47 years of not winning one, you would think it would be crazy, but it was just like blah. And even Jokic, champagne in the locker room, he just looked at the bottom and was like, oh, okay. Why is that?
I just think with Jokic, he's just a breath of fresh air, especially with everything that's been going along in the NBA with players, you know, getting in trouble off the court. And just to see a real, real superstar just goes about his business and be a true professional. I think the game, you know, needs players like that who just comes in even kill and just cares about winning and just cares about the ball club. But, Key, it's been a long time coming there in Denver. You know, I was there for many years, and I've seen all the success that the Broncos had, all the success that the Colorado Avalanche have had, and now that the Nuggets got a championship, I'm just so excited for the team. I'm excited for Mr. Kroenke, who's had a heck of a run these last couple of years with the Rams winning the championship a couple of years ago, the Avalanche winning the Stanley Cup a couple of years ago, and now the Nuggets last night. So I'm very, very happy for the city.
Man, you could throw in one extra, too, the Colorado Mammoth. I mean, it's a professional lacrosse league. Shout out to Paul.
Lacrosse Rabel. Team.
Yeah,
yes,
he did one, too, man. This dude is on college. Man, and by the way, it's not like Miami's not popping either with obviously Messi coming down there with Inter Miami, you know, FC and what they're doing, and obviously with the Heat. But I'm sitting there last night.
Also, the hockey team down there. The hockey team down there in Miami, too.
Florida Panthers, yeah. So I'm sitting there watching the Heat last night, Marcus, and I'm thinking to myself, because Tyler Hero didn't play, right? And I'm like, oh, all right. So maybe the hand isn't all the way there like Eric Spoelstra would expect for it to be there. You haven't played basketball in 2 months. Am I really just going to drop you into a game five? But I'm watching this dude out there in the Northwest doing an interview with Brian Custer on his podcast and pretty much start glowing about the Miami Heat. Is there any question in your mind, Marcus, that Pat Riley is not trying to find a way to get Dame Lillard with Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo on the same team down in the 305? And if that happens, will they be the favorite to come out of the East next year?
Well, you know, Pat, Jay, he's going to do whatever it takes to increase that organization and increase his team, man. And Dame is a perfect fit for anybody. Everybody would like to have a Dame Lillard on their team. But, I expect Miami to be in play with a couple of superstars this offseason, considering that, you know, they were just a couple games away of winning the NBA championship. But, you know, Dame, Jimmy, and Bam, that's a formidable big three out there to be contended with in the Eastern Conference. So, it's a sight to be seen, but I'm looking forward to Dame getting a fresh start.
That is Marcus Camby, former NBA 2007 Defensive Player of the Year, which doesn't even really do him justice. Fantastic career. Thank you, Marcus, for coming on this morning.
I appreciate you guys always.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You can hear us on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can see us on ESPN2 for another 13 minutes, then ESPNU till 10 a.m. Eastern. How should Heat fans look at their season? 888-SAY-ESPN. How do you look at the season, Heat fans? Jay, you wanted to talk about the officiating.
Well, because Key asked me about it. It was one of the – first off, what some calls are really bad. You asked me about the foul that Jimmy Butler got in the corner where he extended his foot was one of the worst calls. And when we're watching it in real time, you're looking at it, you're
one
saying,
of the worst
okay.
calls? I don't know. It was like a close call.
How was it a close call?
So, because, Jay, let me ask you, let me say to you why I said what I said, right? So he was coming down beyond the three-point line, and Gordon was closing in on him, but Gordon's right foot, I believe, came down at the three-point line as well, didn't give him the necessary room.
No.
Wait, I'm saying it looked like, to me, he didn't give him the necessary room to land properly. So when he kicked his leg out, he happened to be in that spot. That's what I saw.
Watch here. Watch. Straight up, straight down. Straight up, straight down. That's not the case.
Even if he came straight down, you're right, Jay. Technically, you're right, but it's close.
No, it's not. It's nowhere close. Jimmy Butler is flailing his legs out.
Yes,
he's extending his legs.
Jay,
and by the way,
I'm not arguing that. You're right about that. But I'm saying, even if he went straight up and down.
No, he would have came down. The reason why
his front leg is in front of his back leg, and Gordon's look how close that is.
No,
see, Jay, I don't know, man.
But he's not impeding his landing spot.
But Jay, let me ask you.
Just listen to me for a second. Listen to somebody who pays attention to the refs and how the rules
have changed.
No, I
just like my own opinion. I don't want to hear anything.
I'm telling you, you guys are wrong. Both you guys are wrong here.
I'm not trying to be right.
I'm just saying.
I'm just asking you a question.
I'm trying to answer it, Key. As he's kicking his legs out, first off, the NBA changed that rule. Mm. Like, players used to kick their legs out and fall down, and that used to be called a foul. They changed the rule. You cannot kick your legs out to gain contact. If he were to go straight up and straight down, that would not have been a call. Like, there would have been no need for him to even fall.
But if he goes straight down, Jay, my whole point, I'm asking you this. If he goes straight down, he lands on his foot, he twists his ankle.
His feet were up underneath him, though, Key.
It looked like it was.
Who was that?
Aaron Gordon. Alan Yates. You tell me, do you think that was a foul or not?
Who was the other person there? That was –
Jay, I'm saying if he came straight down, his foot, his leg was beyond the three-point line. Would have Jimmy Butler came straight down, would he have landed on his ankle is what I'm asking you.
No.
Opposed to protecting himself by kicking out.
He's not protecting himself. He's selling a call.
Okay. All right. Well, to answer your question about the officiating, if you think that was a bad call, then the officiating was bad. One that I thought was a bad call was when Kyle Lowry got tied up underneath the basket late in the game.
That was another one.
He got tied up. He actually was ripping the ball away from him. I think it was the Joker at that. I believe it was the Joker. And they called a defensive foul on Kyle Lowry, which I thought was crazy.
I think it's a foul, Jay.
You think it's a foul?
In today's NBA, it's a foul. But if it was like, 2008, it's probably three shots for Jimmy Butler either way, though.
But see, I see Aaron Gordon contesting but staying down.
It's not just Gordon, though. Who else is there?
Well, Michael Porter Jr. is behind the play.
Yeah, right, Porter Jr.
Aaron Gordon is contesting, and he's down on the ground. He's not encroaching his space. And literally, you see Jimmy Butler kick his right leg out. The right leg is why he falls, but he's initiating the contact.
Wait, Jay, yes, I'm not arguing that part. What I'm saying is close is that even had he not kicked his leg out, kicking the leg out is the reason he would come down on Porter or Gordon, because they're both right there, right? Gordon, I guess, is the one slipping in there. But even had he's still going to have one leg in front of the other, potentially, right? So that front leg it's going to be close, even if he doesn't kick it out. You're right. In the end, you're right. It wouldn't have been underneath, but it would have been close enough where you see where the ref makes that call. Look at that.
So, Jay, if he doesn't kick the leg out, right, and he just lands, do you still think they called a foul? Because Gordon doesn't give him a safe space to land, and that's the new thing in the NBA.
I get if you're going straight up, straight down. I mean, if his momentum isn't drawing him forward. His momentum is taking him to the side, though, right, Yates?
Right.
And off the movement of the shot.
And to a point, Aaron Gordon, as he tries to get out the way, gets kicked. So if he doesn't get kicked and he just lands, I still think Jimmy Butler falls.
Okay,
and they probably might call something still.
It was close. It was close. I see your point, Jay, but it was close.
But I think it also could have easily been an offensive foul. We're going the other way because that's the new rule, right?
That's the new rule.
You can't kick out.
You can't kick out.
I get it.
I know that's the new rule. It just looked like to me he kicked himself to protect himself from coming straight down and hitting Gordon's leg and twisting his ankle.
Would you like to amend the position that it's not close? Even if you're right, would you acknowledge it's a close call?
No.
888-SAY-ESPN. How should Heat fans look at their season now? Heat fans, how do you look at the season? Malcolm in Alabama, you're on KJM. Malcolm?
Hello.
Yes, Malcolm.
You got to turn on your radio.
Malcolm, are you there? Hello, Malcolm?
Turn on your radio.
Yeah. Malcolm, are you there?
I'm here.
I can't. We don't hear Malcolm.
No.
Yeah, you got to turn on your radio.
Listening
Malcolm?
To the radio. Listen, folks, I don't know how they're screening these calls, but listen through the phone, not the radio at that point because there's a slight delay.
No, he's fine.
Wait a minute. Was he there?
Malcolm, we got you back?
Was that a shot at New?
Yeah, Max, don't do that, man. That you don't do that, because we tell these listeners to shut off the
Well, they don't seem to get
that's
it.
Not, right. That's hey, not, hey, hey, guys, Max. Hey, friends not and family, don't argue in public. Here we go. Malcolm, are you back?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, we got you. What's up, baby?
Hey, first of all, I'd just like to, you know, let y'all know, man, I appreciate y'all's show. I watch y'all every morning, and, you know, y'all be having some good points and stuff. And Keyshawn, I got much love for you, man. I'm a Cowboy fan, so you know what I'm saying? I got much love for you. But, Jay, let me ask y'all something, man. How is Jimmy Butler a superstar?
Is it just that easy, Malcolm? I'm asking Jay. How is Jimmy Butler a superstar, man? Because he's gotten his team to the NBA Finals two out of 4 years.
You went to,
I did go to Duke. Yeah, that doesn't make me more qualified to answer the question than anybody else. But, yeah, because I saw him drag his team to two NBA Finals in the last 4 years.
Three conference finals. All conference finals, underdogs.
I think there are superstars for different franchises because different franchises obviously prioritize different things. I think people, when they think superstar, they're going to your offensive skill set has to be able to carry a crazy load. And for me, Jimmy Butler is a superstar within the Miami Heat franchise.
I think Jimmy Butler is a board. He's the next, if you want to talk about NBA-wide, he's the next thing to a superstar. If you're going to limit that to LeBron, Steph, KD, who else? You know, like a handful of guys, 3, 4, 5 guys. He's the next thing to that. Is Jimmy Butler a superstar, though? Are we right? Am I right or wrong about that? 888-SAY-ESPN.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.